This week's Parsha is Truma. We start with five different Parshas dealing primarily with the Mishkan, with its accoutrements, the clothes worn, etc. And we have the famous pasuk that starts, "Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, lemar daber b'nei Yisrael," speak and daber is a more more emphasis than Amar. The Yichuli Truma may ace Kolisha share Yidvenu Limi. And Yikach, and take for me Truma, for every person who wants, take my Truma. And all the Mefarshim ask, the verb appears to be wrong, because it should say the Nosanli, not the Yichud. The yikach is I take, right? And really the people should be giving, they shouldn't be taking. So what's happening? So there are many, many mafarshim that were taking a chelek from a Kaddish Baruch Hu in Gashmias, etc. The Sephorna has a very, very direct approach, as Rabbi Lehrfeld said. The Sephorna tells us this is a mitzvah to the Gaboy Tzedaka, to those people who have the authority, the position to collect money for the needs of the people, and they are commanded to take money. And it's a mitzvah to say. In other words, there's a mitzvah to do this. And Rabbi Lehrfeld told the following story. In a shul in Eretz Yisrael, it was a custom to sell aliyos. The gabbai had that responsibility, and there were different times when he would know that someone who was not necessarily of means had with a chiyuv, and he would go out of his way to tell the other people, let Chaim buy the aliyah at whatever price, because we're not here to gouge anybody. Comes one Shabbos, and a certain fellow, David, has yahrzeit for his father. David is a Talmud Chacham, he's a teacher, and they make this arrangement, and he's going to get it. Lo and behold, in walks Shimon. Shimon is the most pompous, arrogant, rich guy in the community. And Shimon, in his tzidkis, decides he's now a chiyuv for his great-great-great-grandfather. And so he says, I want mafter. And the gabbai says, very well and good. However, you're a kohen, by kohen, and let, you know, the fellow David have the aliyah. He says, no. And so what's going on is they sell all the aliyahs, and comes to this aliyah, and he starts bidding up the guy who really can't afford it, but the guy who can't afford it feels he's got to at least make a significant effort to buy this, and he goes up to about 1,000 shekel. The smart guy says 3,000 and blows him out of the water. All of a sudden, the other people in the shul say, uh-uh. If this guy's going to get it, we're bidding him up. And so they bid him up, and finally he goes 5,000. No one's going there. So now the gabbai says, okay, what am I going to do? I didn't want to give this guy the aliyah mafter. And he says, let me do something else. In the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, he tells the other four Kohanim in the room to go out, because he explains to them why. And then he says, Yamoit, and he calls up this guy Shimon for Kayin. Shimon is flabbergasted, and he's seething. And the rabbi says, you got to go. It's a chiv. You're the only Kohen in the room. Well, he's going nuts. But he does it, you know, he's not going to make a bigger scene than he already has. And David, they're going to give it, gets the Aliyah. And at the end, he says, I'm not paying you guys nothing, da-da-da-da-dum. And, you know, they don't bother. So now the gabbai goes home to have lunch. And he starts thinking, what did I do? Did I cost the shul 5,000 shkolim because the guy Shimon didn't buy it? And did I make David come up with 1,000 shkolim he shouldn't have to? Because I'm stretching him. So he went to Rav Zilberstein. Rav Zilberstein said the following. When the Pasuk says, V'yikhu li truma, and he gives that commandment to the Gaboyim, he says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave complete discretion to a Gabbai. In Halacha, a Gabbai can do whatever they want. And there's no claim, which we often see, how could you give it to X? I'm much more important. My chiyuv is much greater. No, what a gabbai does stands. And so he said to the gabbai, you didn't cause the shul to lose anything because you had that right. You're supposed to try to do what's yashar, what a Kodesh Baruch Hu really wants you to do. And you have the right individual. Get mafter. On your second question, did you cause him to have to pay more than he would otherwise? He said, yes, he's committed to the 1,000 shkolim, but he says, I'll tell you what you do. He's a Talmud Chacham. Have him prepare a couple of shiurim in the shul and let the shul collect and pay him for the shiurim, which you're allowed to do, and he'll be made whole. And that's what he says. That's how we give the Gaboyim total power. Okay. I don't know if anybody watched the Chazak halftime show of the Super Bowl game last night. They arranged for Charlie Harari, for Rabbi Pesach Krohn, for Rabbi Joey Haber, and for Rabbi Yoel Gold to speak. And they all... I guess they did 3 or 4 minutes, so they didn't want to go into the second half. But there were some interesting comments. Charlie Harari pointed out how in a football game, after a guy fumbles badly, he goes back to the huddle and he goes back to the sidelines and they pump him up. Encouragement. And he says, you look at these guys making millions and millions of dollars. They've trained. They've got their game face on. And yet, there's consistent encouragement. And he says, what is this? And he says, he quotes Rav Moshe Levy, who quoted Rav Chaim Vital, who said that in serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sadness has no place. There are things that are difficult, and yes, we can take time, consider them, etc. But to stay in a sad mood, he says, is the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara knows that if he can dissuade someone, a yid, from doing a mitzvah, he's succeeded. And he said, mitzvot require happiness, encouragement, including self-encouragement, before performance. And he quotes the famous story, mitzvah gedol lios besimcha tamid. It's a big mitzvah that we should be besimcha. Simcha means an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a relationship with each and every Jew. And we should try at certain times when doing a mitzvah to stop for a moment, he says, and encourage ourselves. Tell us ourselves that even if we fumbled in the past, pump yourself up. Because when you've got a positive attitude, it's much easier to do the mitzvah. Rav Pesach Kron told the famous story that Rav Shalom Shvadron, known as the Maggid of Yerushalayim, used to tell. And he told the story that when he first started teaching Israeli kids, he had heard about this thing, soccer, but he had no idea what it was. And kids would come in and he would inspire them. A young fellow who probably didn't come from a very learned family had come for 3 weeks in a row every night. And in the fourth week, he missed, I guess, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. So on Wednesday, Rav Shvadron went to see him. And he said, you know, is there a problem? Are you well? He said, no, I'm fine. He says, I need a week off because the Israeli soccer championship is this week, and I love the game, and I want to watch the championship. And he says, explain to me what this means. So the kid tells him that there's 11 players on each side, that there's a goal, and the object is to kick the soccer ball into the net. And he listens and he says, let me ask you a question. Does the soccer game go on all day? And the kid says, no. There's a, I don't know, was it 90 minutes possibly? He says, so what if you would go a half hour after the game is over and you would kick the ball in the net 18 times? Would that satisfy you? And he says, no, you don't understand, he said. There's a goalie there. The goalie's there to prevent someone from getting it in. It's a competition. And the Rav Shvadron said, ah, now I understand. But he says, let me tell you something else. He says, when you go to shiur on a night when you have no impediments, when you have no yates or horror to do anything else, he says, that's easy. That's like kicking the goal into the net with no goalie there. It's when you come on a night when there is something else you could do, then you're competing. And he says, Baruch Hashem, the kid listened and came back the next night. And the other Vertlech were also very cute. We didn't spend much time, if any, on Parshas Mishpatim last week. Mishpatim is an interesting Parsha in that we know all of the Mishnayis Nezikin, tort law, laws of damages, come from it, and other halachas as well. And then the parsha dealt with other aspects of, of Kabbalah Satorah. For example, the only time we get the pasuk Na'aseh V'Nishma is in Mishpatim, not in Yisro. And question is asked by, might be the Or Chaim HaKodesh, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe the order in Mishpatim, he started with the laws of damages, etc. And then later on, there are other halachas given, etc., etc. When the Shulchan Aruch was written, it does not start with the laws of tort, the laws of damages, the civil laws. It starts with ritual laws. Shabbos, Yontif, Kashrus, etc. They all come before the laws that are written with regard to interpersonal relationships. And the question is asked, why the different order? And the answer is given that the laws of tort are unique because David injures Moshe. And the court would say, if you take him to court, the penalty is 300 shekels. And if you go for din, that's fine. But in court cases, there can be mitigating factors as well. And it's not automatic. You know, was there contributory negligence? Was there another reason? Were there conditions in the geographical area where the damage occurred that might mitigate the damage? And we're told that one of the greatest things that a Beis Din can do in a case of mammon, in a case of monetary damages or lawsuits over money, breach of contract, is to reach compromise. Now, we know there's a halacha, you cannot be masne amasha kasuv betorah. I cannot basically change a law HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. So, if that's the case, and if the law is that in halacha I'm entitled to $300, why is that Beis Din can say to the plaintiff, pay him $200 and walk away? And so we're told that the reason this is because while the Torah sets rights to someone who's been wronged, someone who's been injured, that person is given the ability to waive their, basically, their property rights. In order to have shalom, to have peace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you need not take what you need. In other words, you don't have to apply the letter of the law. Let's take this example and let's apply it to kashrus. And if that's the case, if we took this principle, could we have an 86% kosher animal? In other words, it's not such a big nick. Or Shabbos, the violation, it was, you know, I don't know, it wasn't so bad, it was only 5 minutes. And the answer is, the only place where pshara, where compromise, is sanctioned by the Torah is in the area of monetary damages. And every other concept of halacha, you've got to basically come to a psak. Now, the psak could be lechumra, right? You might be more stringent. It might be lehekel. But even when people are mekel, when they do things easier, they have a makar, they have a mandomar, they have something in Chazal that allows them to do it. They're not trying to skate around the law. They're trying to interpret it. And we know often in the Gemara, it says, koyach dehetera adiv, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu prefers when a dayan doesn't automatically become a machmir, going stringent, but finds an ability to be lenient. One of the lessons we're told that we learn from Mishpatim, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a set of laws for tort, is that obviously we've got to be careful in interpersonal relationships. That's a given. But we're told that this Parsha of Mishpatim is given to refute the misconception for many, many years, religion belongs in the synagogues and in the kitchens. As long as I don't hurt somebody, in my own estimation, there's nothing religious. You know, the old rule that there is no God in business. It's dog eat dog. And Chazal tell us, somebody who is negligent in business law, who is negligent in causing damages to others, is no less a sinner than the person who robs directly with a knife, who breaks Shabbos in public, he drives his vehicle thumbing his nose, right? And as a matter of fact, we're told, the Chachamim say that mishpat, justice in mamon, in monetary actions, is actually a prerequisite to the safety and security of Klal Yisroel. Yeshaya Navi, after warning people of the potential for the Golus, for the impending exile and the catastrophic events that would happen, said to them, Tzion b'mishpat tipodeh. Tzion is going to be redeemed with justice, and whatever captives exist will only be returned in the strength of righteousness. The other thing we're told is the very fact that the last thing we said in Yisro was we talked about the Mizbeach, right? How you have to have an altar and that it's got to be uncut by swords, etc. The very next, right, which is an aspect of high Kedusha, we know that they sacrificed and they had a Mizbeach at all times by the various Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, etc. And they sacrificed in the desert even before they were given the Torah. And when Hashem gives the Torah and he juxtaposes monetary laws with the sanctity of the Mizbeach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you what is it that he considers on the same plane, what is equally important. And when we go through the halachos, right, the first halacha we encounter in Mishpatim was about the Eved, the person who had to be sold into slavery. And we're told by Chazal that somebody who bought a Jewish slave, in fact, didn't buy a slave, he bought a master. If there was one steak and 18 hot dogs, the slave got the steak. If there was one bed that had greater comfort, the slave got it. The master of the slave was required to take care of and sustain the family of the slave. And so we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's concern is for every single Jewish person, no matter how downtrodden and how difficult they find their existence, the Torah goes to its utmost to try to protect them to the greatest extent possible. Okay. I'm going to stop here, and we will pick up again tomorrow, either with a little more Mishpatim or Mishpatim and Truma. Truma is a highly technical parsha, as you can imagine, on the various items in the base, in the Mikdash. Thanks a ton. Have a great day.